Okay, today's daf we learn is daf chaf, and last year we began Mishnah Bet, and we're talking about the difference between makdim schar and makdim, if you like, mecher, or the schar hamtana. So we explained the difference was if what one can do is they can say, if you pay your rental all up front, I'll give you a discount. If you pay month by month, it's going to cost you more. That's not considered ribbit because we said this obligation to pay is with schirod rentals at the end. However, if it's a sale, if you buy something of someone, obligation is to pay immediately. So if you say you can pay me 12 months' time at X amount extra, that is interest. That was a distinction we saw in the Mishnah. And I think what I forgot to do at the last end of last year, if you remember there were two lines of the Gemara that was before the Mishnah that said actually went after the Mishnah. So let's do them now. So you have to go back to Yud Tanamud, back to the previous Talmud. Pardon me. Because Rav Lah says, Monoten noschar raglo. To explain that, the Marapulda says, it says, Nira de kaya minit in the Ramin Aschar, this is what we just discussed. Shetzerech lavo kochodish li tvo mimeno sela, vavale konoten schar raglav. You know, the reason why it's kind of not like considered ribbit is because, again, really behind the whole din is because the obligation to pay rent only comes at the end. So what it's saying is, oh, if I'm going to have to come back every month, then there's an overhead. By you paying up front, I'm saving on that overhead. So it's not really considered ribbit in that sense. Another way of explaining it says, Anase kamaskir maskir lo di rabbi yoker. Again, because when it comes to rental, the requirement to pay is only at the end, it's like him just changing the rates of the rental agreement if he's going to pay, month by month versus at the end of the year. So it's not considered interest because what interest is I owe you money. And to hold on to that money for a longer period of time, I'm paying you for that benefit. Okay, this situation's not like that at all because he only has to pay at the end. I'm not holding on to that money any longer than I have to hold on to it. Okay, that's the difference in Schir and Mecher. Okay, let's start the Gemara now. So this is Hamar ben Alaschar. So Tanya Mocher Sadeh Lechaver Ba'amar Lo Amanat Shehe Ba'aris. If someone sells a field to his friend and the seller says, on condition I can be the sharecropper. I can go into business partnership. Or I'm a levy, I want to entertain the masrot. If you sell it, you'll have to sell it to me. The whole time that I want to, if I'd like to, I can have the right to buy it back. In that situation, it's all mutar. Why? Because our whole concern with the delaying in payment and things like that, all these different ISCA arrangements, was that. Oh, I haven't got to Iska yet. That's the next Mishnah, sorry. Is that that if he enjoys the pay rod and he ends up giving it back to him, or he doesn't, there could be considered interest along the way. But in this situation, if a person purchased a field, full outright purchase, well, then it's his the entire time. And if he enjoys pay rod, he's enjoying the entire time. The person he bought it from just had a condition of sale that if I want to purchase it back, I can purchase it back. But he's purchasing it back. He's not returning money from a sale, and therefore can be considered ribbit, it's a whole other different exercise. So therefore it's not considered a problem. However, what happens, however, if someone, again, Reuven owes Shimon money? The Reuven wrote, and he effectively wrote it off his field to him. He says, meaning that if he doesn't pay it back, then that field is yours. That's what he said to Shimon. Calls man. As long as Reuven is in the payroll, that's fine. However, if the so-called Shimon would enjoy fruit during that period of time, then that'd be Asur. Why is it Asur? Because what happens is if actually Reuven ends up paying the money back. Oh, so then what's been happening during the whole period of effectively this loan is Shimon, his creditor, has been enjoying payroll from the field. And that would be considered interest. But that would, again, let's understand that's only if Reuven ends up paying it back. If he doesn't end up paying it back, well, then it becomes Shimon's. And that's not a problem. There was no ribbit along the way. Okay, so it's what's called importantly here, tzad echad beribbit. And that's what's going to be debated here, meaning a condition through which, or a scenario that is a possibility of ribbit if the cards fall in one particular direction. Do we say you're not allowed to engage in that arrangement or not? Do we say there's a problem of ribbit? That's what's because it's possible it won't. That situation might not eventuate. So Rabbi Yehuda says no, ben kach u ben kach mutar, and that's exactly the position of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says no, tzad echad beribbit is considered mutar. It's not a problem, like in this situation, because only The only way that Ribbit will end up being a problem is if Reuven ends up paying off the loan and once he gets his land back. And that's it. It will be considered if Shimon was enjoying the territory in that period of time. But if Reuven doesn't, then the field becomes, if you like, Shimon's anyway. And Reuven and Shimon was enjoying from the period at all. There was no loan. There's no money being paid back. So that's what's called tzadacha b'ribbit. It might not actually end up being ribbit. So therefore, that's more true, even if ribbit ends up being the result. That's machlok Reb Yehuda and Chachamim. So Amar Reb Yehuda. Reb Yehuda says, 1 second, we learned the Mishnah. Kaga baitos ben zoni noseh pi chachamim. But didn't baitos do this? He was a creditor and he was able to loan money to lots and lots of people. On with this condition that if the people don't pay back, he gets to keep the land. So you see that tzadach ha-beribit mutar. Hava chachamim says amru lo. Now the way I explained the Mishnah, I said it was actually all the fruit was okay because all the produce was kept in trust. But he doesn't say this. The Gemara says here, sorry, it says amru lo mishamrai. We're talking about that situation. Mocher ochel peirotaya. In that situation, Baitus allowed the people to continue enjoying from the fruits of the land, and there wasn't any. It wasn't even tzadach ha-beribit. It wasn't a situation of what a problem of ribit. Okay, so don't bring a pro case. Proof from that. So, having mentioned this concept or this machloket, or what's called tzad echad beribit, with mutar or not, the Gemara is going to elaborate. Because it's Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Ushai Amri, mibatei arei choma lamad Rabbi Yehuda. Where are you going to get this idea that tzad echad beribit mutar? And learns it from batei arei choma. So, I'll read the Gemara for this. He says, Misha machar bait batei arei choma. There's a special din if you sell a house in a walled city. Goala kol she'am. You've got the whole year to redeem it back. That's it. However, im lo ga'ala, if you do not buy the house back or redeem it back from the person you sold it to, harei lo chalachalutim olamit, then it ends up belonging to the person you purchased it from you forever. That's a special din by derech chomah. Normally, by land, it says comes back on yovel and all those other things, and you got till yovel to redeem it and all these other as we've learned. However, when it comes to bat derech chomah, you have that year and that's it. If you don't, then it belongs to the person. V'imichzer lo mata, but if the person does return the money. So effectively, buys it back. Then, effectively, what it looks, what it appears to be, is the money that the mocher, the person who sold, took. He ends up returning, and it's like a loan. No, because he gets his land back, or he gets his house back. The hatam, but in that situation, who's living in the house during that year? The lokeach is living in the house. V'ochel and parent effectively enjoying from the house. So. This seems to be a classic case of, if you like, ribbit, meaning the person who's lent him the money, because again, he's given him the money, and he's going to be getting the money back at the end. During the period, during the year, he's enjoying them the house, he's getting extra benefits. It's like ribbit. Because it's like it's na'im, it's effectively exactly the same, because if he doesn't return the money, what happens with Midin Torah? The house stays his. That's exactly the case. If he does, the person who'd be living in it, the purchaser, is effectively the ribbit, the inner ribbit. We'll explain what the different opinions are in a moment. And now, here what the Gemara is saying is, he's learning Batei Arei Chomah because according to understanding that this is what's called ribbit ve'ino ribbit. Meaning the reason why the Torah allows it, because it's a classic case of tzad echad beribbit. It's not straight out ribbit, it's a possibility of ribbit, meaning it depends how, if he pays it back, then it would be ribbit. If he doesn't, then it's not. So therefore, that's mutar. So he looks at Batei Rechoma as the model to say, look, there the Torah allowed it, so clearly that's not considered ribbit, therefore you can have this arrangement whenever you like. It's very late tzadach ha-barib mutar. Shemole yavo pidiya in kan ribbit. Okay? Ve'im yavo havalei ribbit mitzad echad, ve'tzad echad ribbit mutar. However, v'rabbanan asri sfer leki idach breitich, like the other shita, that the Torah in that situation is ribbit, ela Torah, yitira, but the Torah simply allowed it. Okay, so I'll go through the Gemara as well. Now it says as follows. So let's go back to the Gemara. So he learns, Rabbi Yehuda learns it from Bata Erei Choma. Haresh hu kemin, if you like, ribbit, ve'eno ribbit. Because he understands, look, it looks like ribbit, but the Torah allows it, so it must be that it's not ribbit at all, and tzadach ha-beribit is therefore mutar. However, Tanichron, there's another shita that says, no, harei ribbit is ribbit. Ela shatara yitira, but the Torah simply permitted it in this context. Like there's always something, if you like, there's a Gemara that says everything's asur in the Torah, there's one context where you find it actually being mutar. It'll have blood, it'll have liver, things like that. Okay? There's certain things food are not, or not that are not kosher, but there are equivalents that you could get the same taste. Gemara goes through a whole list of things. So this is one of those examples that ribbit generally is asur, and this happens to be mutar, this context. That's what Torah allows in this context. Fine. So the Gemara says, Rabbi, change the gears, Rabbi Yehuda. Sorry, go back to that. Mada Amar Hareze Kamin Ribid Vein Ribid. The Shin that says that, look, it's not really Ribid, and therefore that's Tzadachir is Mutad, that must be Shin Rabbi Yehuda. Mada Amar is Ribid, the Shin that said this is actually Ribid, Elatira, that must be Chachamim, who hold that Tzadachar HaRibid is Asur. Yafeh. Now, the Gemara says, "My time, the Yehuda, call Ribbit Shiyesh Lo Tzadeh Chad Shelater as Muta." That's a Girsa. Now, the Oz V'Hadar adds a lot of extra sort of bits and pieces into here, based on different Ketav Yad. But the Mefarshim we're using, both Marav Fulda and Pnei Moshe, don't seem to use it. So we're going to continue with skipping those bits. So let's continue. So Amar Rabbi Idi Katzalik Megaluta Echkechei Hadin Uvde Kamei Rav Ami, that he found there was an incident by Ravimi in this situation. Where again the so-called mocha in the situation was sorry the mocha wasn't the sorry where the it was a question of tzadachah v'ribit, okay, not the mocha al chopera was lo keach chopera. So Rav Imi says harei ze kemin ribit ve'in ribit, meaning it seems to be tzadachah ribit is fine. Amar Chizkia lo amru ela what zu ribit v'atori tira. It was only batera chomada that was mutar, but anything that resembled it in a different context is considered ribit. So how can it be okay? So it says, the Gemara says, "Hado lo." So Philo ken lo ashkach Rebbe Imi. Rebbe Imi wasn't interested. Didn't even he. In other words, he continued to allow. Didn't was interested in Rebbe Fiskia. Why? Because this funny lashon amar beitim dairei dair. So there's two ways to explain what's going on here. One understanding is the Mene Moshe says that while he was leaving the house, it was better to be occupied because sometimes there's benefit gained to the mocher that. Someone is, if you like, in his property to make sure that he notices, with, rains, there's a leak, things like that, he's aware of things. That's one way. However, the Marfil doesn't say that. He says, I'll read the Lashon. He says, Balabai darim diura, v'hu socher dira mi balabai ladurimo. So, Balabai darim diura, meaning the socher dira mi balabai ladurimo, means, v'balabai ikar, the balai ikar, v'hu mocher diura. Since the balabai is the ikar, he has power, his authority over. Is socher elader, and the dayar doesn't have the legal power over the, if you like, the balabait. So what it's talking about, what it's referring to here, it's using more of a mashal according to Marfulda of who has legal authority over who. Is it the balabait or the dayar? So and therefore the amar zeneged Reb Chizkia lefish Reb Imi abbeitin. Reb Imi was abbeitin v'resh metiv the Rosh Hashiva. So kilu hu, as if he's a balabait, the ein be'ar v'chizkiya, therefore v'chizkiya doesn't have the capacity to be mocheh. So it's like called mashal in terms of the dynamic that's going on between Rav Imi and Rav Chizkiya. That's what it's saying. So in other words, not the balabait in DR, actually we're talking about details of the case, like the Bnei Moshe says, but rather it's referring to the sort of the, like the Rabbanim in the story. I was about to say plays, but the Rabbanim in the story. Masrodi brings us a similar explanation. That's his way of explaining the sukkah. Okay, let's now learn halacha gimel. Now, this is where you can get issues with what's called iska, meaning a business partnership that can end up being interest. Now, it's important to understand this. I'll show you the Marav Fulda. He says, Loimar Balabait. Let's say Balabait's got some product. He can't go to a shopkeeper. He says, Harepo. He says, you can sell product for better rate than me as a shopkeeper. I'm just a homeowner. So, therefore, Puta. Because I can only sell in bulk to, I don't know, some suppliers, but you sell to the consumer at a small amount, you've got a greater margin. So therefore, we can make more money. So therefore, this is what I want to do. Heiloch perot, take my produce, umachor tamid v'harevach nechalak, and we will split the profits together. That can run into the problem of ribbit. Why? He's just, to have the business deal, I'm giving my product, and we're going to share the profits. So the thing is, the reason is, because if the Chenvani says, good idea, I'll do this with you, the product he has in his possession, half of it will be considered a loan and half of it considered will be a pikadon. Why? Because this Chenvani, the shopkeeper, is willing to take upon himself responsibility of half the product. It goes up in value or down in value, meaning because he's going to share in the losses as well. So therefore, half of it, hilkachahu palga, that he's willing to, enjoy the profits or the losses on, is considered him like a malve etzlo. Whereas the other sahaf is considered pikadon. etzlo, because what we did in the very beginning, they assessed how much is this product worth wholesale, and we're gonna, because on that basis, we're gonna work out what the profits are gonna be. Okay, so the sharashuk v'dinali tol chatzischar. So nimtzeh mitasek. So therefore, what does he have in his possession? He has half of it's a pikadon, half of it's a malveh. And but the problem is he's looking after the entire product. He's looking after it. So therefore, shehu pikadon etzlo bischar. Now they said nimtzeh mitasek b'chezko shel habayit. He's looking after the half that belongs to the baal habayit, pikadon. Etzlo bischar hamtanot hamalveh. Now he's doing that, it seems to be for free, because all he's sharing is in the profits. So the half that's a balabait, he's effectively doing for nothing. So therefore, the half that's a loan, he's paying back extra, he's giving extra benefit to the so-called malveh, which is looking after the share of the malveh. Okay? Leficha asur, that's why it's asur such a business arrangement, because again, chenvani here is, look, has the product. Half it's like a malveh by virtue of the way the business arrangement, and half it's like a pikadon. He's looking after the entire product together, the entire thing, and that's a benefit he's giving over to effectively his malveh, the person who's lent him half the product. And that's considered interest. Unless, of course, elim ken lo tos char amalok b'chetzi. Unless, of course, the bala bayit gives the chenvani some sort of wage, some sort of like a payment to look after his share, and then you won't have problems of ribbit. That's how you'd have to do some sort of iska. Okay? Happy to share the profits, but you've got to give some what we call like management fees. You've got to give some fees to the person who is looking after it. Okay, so let's go over this again. That's why it says, Ein as we explained, you can't give him money to get out, it doesn't have to be product, it can even be money to go and split the profits. Unless he pays him some fees, we said, like a pol batel, which is a small amount of money, in order to look out for the fact he's looking after the balabait's share, okay, in this product. Also, it's simply looking after chicken for ethers, eggs, ben samim, shamim, sorry, agalim, v'sarichin, elim ken noten noschar, that applies to other products as well. If it's raising animals, looking after chickens, things like that. Also, the same thing, he has to ensure that he is paying the other party's business partner for his efforts in looking after the animal, feeding it, things like that. Otherwise, that will be considered interest for this the 50% loan. Now, what this is saying that if, however, they do this business partnership without a shuma means we haven't worked out what the value of the animal is now, such that you will be culpable for 50% if for your share if it drops, because then it's not considered a loan, his half share. Then that would be okay. Let's continue. Amar sav trei dinarim agrech avdim. So this is a classic perfect case. He gave the guy money to do business with it, but he also paid him some sort of fees, right, management fees, so that it wouldn't be considered interest. That is a-okay. Let's continue. Again, let's say he gives his friend money. Say you're in a produce business. I'm going to give you money. You go buy it. We'll split the profits. The amale and the person says lo lakachti, and the guy end up basically not doing what he was told. There's no. All there is complaints. It was a bad business partner. Okay. fine. Is yeah, fine. So. Let's continue. If he knows the person actually when did the purchasing, then obviously he can force him against his, he can compel him to give up the money or the share. Right? Let's say he wants to a business partnership and they bought produce. And the person says, okay, you know what? I think we'll make more money if we leave it over till next year. And the guy goes, no, I need the money now. What's the deal? Well, it was the deal with business partners was to buy projects for now. So he can say, you know, you can ma'akev. He says, no, we're not gonna wait till next year. We have to do it now. However, im haya erev shvi. However, if the business don't want erev shmita, then ein ma'akev chadosh shneim amanek lakum. Because clearly they went to business dealing erev shmita. Why? Because they're gonna make a huge amounts of profit in shmita when things are gonna be make more money. So in that situation, no one can stop him from saying, let's do it till next year. Now, again, same type of business deal. אם אמר היילך מנה שאין יכול לעמוד בפרוטרוט, הרי זה אסור, ראה פה במקרן, הרי זה מותר. Now there's two ways to understand what's actually happening here. I'll do Pnei Moshe first. What the Pnei Moshe is saying is if they have some sort of business deal and they come to business partnership and one of the and the partners who's in charge, he says, look, it's too much of a headache for me to work out the percentage of each little sale here, I'm just giving you a lump sum. You cannot do that. Why? Because you don't know how much the profits are going to be. And it's, it could look like ribbit if it doesn't actually end up, it ends up in paying more than the profits. However, if however he sees that they're going to make huge profits, then that's actually fine because he's effectively buying out his share. Okay? That's different. Okay? Fine. In other words, there will be a lot of profits and he won't be paying him more than the share. If you're not really buying him out, but it's really, he won't be paying more, won't be considered ribbit. However, the Maharal doesn't say that at all. He says that if, however, I'll show you, sorry, but protrot, he says, the way you're operating, you're small scale. It's not making me enough money. So therefore, what I'm going to do, what I can do, halacha, here's another 100 dinar, and buy in bulk. Like, don't just have this little thing to do a large injection of like of your capital, and then you could start making greater profits. We said he cannot do that. Why? Because what you've just done now is you've increased greater effort on him that your original fees that you paid in that interest fees might not even cover, and you again run into the problems of ribbit. However, Imran Porem Mokiran, if however they see that, if however the reason why he's giving the injection of money is because it's everything's so cheap now, then it's mutar. Because it seems to be there's going to be a greater profit for everybody and everyone gets to enjoy. Yeah, that's the way he seems to explain what's happening here. Okay, let's continue. Again, similar type of regimen, he gives his friend produce and they're going to split the profits. Rashai lokeach lekach moto min. What the lokeach can do, he can say, okay, sounds great. What I'm going to do, I'm going to actually add some of my own product to this to the mix as well. We've got a business partnership, say, of a couple of ton. I'm going to add a couple of ton of my own. Okay. However, when it comes to selling, in other words, the point is the original business partner can say, how? You can't add anything to it because you're not going to look after my part of the business. Okay, Mara says, no, you can add to it. However, when it comes to selling, he has a responsibility to his business partner first rather than doing his own extra business on the side. Okay, let's continue. If that were doesn't he gave him money to buy some sort of produce. What's defined as produce? Well, it's up to the discretion of the business partner. However, loy kachbe, you can't start, dealing in shmatas, ksud, and eitzim, and wood, because the deal was peirot. Peirot just means produce. So whatever is defined as produce, yes, but beyond that, I guess there's certain flexibility given to this other business partner, but there's limits to it in terms of it's left to fill it within the boundaries of what considered peirot would be. Now, Rabbi Yitzchak. Now, Rabbi Yitzchak here, what he's commenting is on the ratio of the breita. That's what Barapulda says. It says, if he gives him money to business, and he says, and the guy says, look, I didn't get around to doing it. He says, you can't, there's no complaints. You see quite clearly here that if the person gave you money to go ahead and do stuff, and the guy doesn't do it, well, you can have complaints against him, but you can't actually expect any financial compensation for it. However, Hamavatel Sadecha Beiro, if he's taking charge of someone's field, well, that's a different situation there. In other words, he took upon a field to work it and he went to split the profit, things like that, like a Makabel, a Kablan, if you like, and he left it. Then we say, Chayv Lishpotlo. So, which means, powerful, this is La Midlo Tfua Shere Ra'ui La Sod, but not Ninlo. Because it was the land would have produced certain product and he didn't do anything with it, then there's a culpability. So we're seeing when it comes to money, en lo tamo. When it comes to land, no, he can demand compensation. And what about a sfina? What about a boat? Sfina chaviro, v'chanucha roshot ma'u, and that's loishita, the questions there left hanging. Okay, beseder. That stays up and we'll pick up here from tomorrow. This is all very important, very practical. in terms of all the questions, had to iskas with the interest of banks and stuff. It's all building on these this concept of iska, these deals. All right, Pasadena.